White sand and crystal clear water have drawn vacationers to the Gulf Coast beaches for generations. This year, they're less likely to go there because they expect tarballs and oil-coated wildlife. To hear more about the state of the Gulf's beaches, we're joined by Stephen Leatherman. He's a professor and the director of the Laboratory for Coastal Research at Florida International University. Professor Leatherman puts out an annual list of the top 10 beaches in the U.S., earning him the informal title Dr. Beach, and he's in the studio of member station WLRN in Miami. Welcome to the program.
My pleasure to be with you.
So as it stands now, what areas have been affected by the oil spill?
Well, of course, Louisiana has been the worst, and we've seen that over and over on the TV clips and on the blogs. And then, of course, the oil has drifted into Mississippi and Alabama. In fact, the Alabama beaches are largely closed. In Florida, the worst place is on the Florida-Alabama border, which is an area called Perdido Key. There's a lot of tarballs there, and some globules of oil have washed up, and largely that's closed now to swimming and to fishing.
Health officials actually have been warning people not to swim in some areas off the coast of Alabama and northwest Florida. You mentioned the Alabama beaches being closed. Is it safe in other beaches? I mean, for example, is it safe to swim even if there's no visible signs of oil on the beach?
Yeah, I think you'd be fine if there's no oil on the beach or in the water. The Florida Department of Environmental Protection points out that even if you come in contact with these tar balls, it's not like it's going to be deadly poison. Just wash it off. Soap and water usually do it, and let people know if you come in contact with it.
Where can people find the real-time condition of these beaches?
Well, we're putting that up now as we talk. In fact, there's a site called www.healthybeaches.org. And that site's going to give you a map and show you the beaches which are open for business, no tar balls or anything else, no problems, and, of course, where there are problems so that you can make plans accordingly. And that site is going to be updated daily to reflect the conditions so that you'll know where to go and know before you come.
Dr. Beach, you recently released your annual list of top 10 beaches. How did the oil spill factor into your selection?
Well, of course, I had to make this selection about a month ago for it to come out Memorial Day weekend, and I was influenced by it. I was going to put a beach in the Panhandle on the list, but looking at where the oil was going, how it was drifting, and knowing that it could be pushed farther north by hurricanes, for instance, which so far we haven't seen, but we're in the season, I did not put a beach in the Panhandle. And after all, that is some of the greatest beaches in the world. In fact, I've had three national winners there.
Did any of the Gulf beaches make it on the list in spite of the spill?
Yes, in fact, Siesta Beach, which is in Sarasota, in the area we call Southwest Florida, is number two on the list. And I had to think long and hard about that, putting the beach number two on the list. But as I look at it, and you look where the oil is, and you look at the coastal currents, don't really see any way oil is going to get down that way.
Do you plan to go to the beach this summer? If so, are you going to go to any of them along the Gulf Coast?
I'm planning to get back over to Pensacola pretty soon, and I plan to go visit the beach and see what it's really like myself. And if I don't see any tar balls or oil, I'm going to go swimming.
Stephen Leatherman is the director of the Laboratory for Coastal Research at Florida International University. His informal title is Dr. Beach. He joined us from the studio of member station WLRN in Miami. Thank you very much.
My pleasure to be with you.